Woo! Blade and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. It's Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Been a big day so far. We've heard from Julio Jones, and we've heard from Mike Vrabel on the station. We've heard from Josh Reynolds. Man, lots going on. It's the Titans finishing up their last voluntary OTA. They've got mandatory minicamp coming up. But as Mike Vrabel said today, Julio Jones got his physical, told him, look, I got to go to Atlanta. I got to get my stuff. I want to come back Thursday. I'll practice today. And Blaine, that rascal, was out on the field today with his teammates, even spoke to the media. But I know Titans fans have really enjoyed seeing all those glimpses of the Titans' latest number two doing his thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A lot of excitement. You know, there's always going to be some excitement around a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Fame guy, and a player who still is in his prime. And I think he still's got some juice. And a lot of people ask him that question. I think he probably like, huh? Well, we shall see. And I just love that this guy, first of all, he gets off the bus and he looks like he is the dude. But he's a team guy. You know, when you 6'3", 6'4", wide receiver, you can run routes and run as fast as all these little 5'10", 5'11 guys. Man, you're a special, special talent. And for him to be real humble and willing to give, advice and help the guys out, his leadership skill shows there. Maybe not, you know, to a whole team. His actions will show that. Always different forms of leadership and the dynamic that he just brings to the team as far as a weapon. With, as he said, A.J. Brown, Reynolds, Ferkser, and Henry and Tannehill. And we all know that they have to come together and play well as a team, as a group, in the offensive line. So Henry can't run if they're not blocking. Yeah, so yep. We all know this. So it's just exciting for the Tennessee Titans to have someone of this magnitude. I think it's maybe the biggest trade besides the Kevin Carter. I think, did they give up two first-round picks or was it one and a three? Yeah, but since then. But this is an offensive guy in an offensive era. I mean, this time is all about the offense and putting up points. In my mind, this is probably number one. As much as Kevin Carter was an elite level player, he was a defensive guy. So offensively, this is special and brings a lot of bright lights as national media was in town, as well as, put Tennessee as though they were on the map, even bigger in the spotlight. And here's a question. Would they have gotten at least another primetime game if they would have known Julio was on the team? Or will they get one even still as time goes on? Especially if they winning? I bet you they would find another way to get those Tennessee Titans on the tube on prime time.
This is an offense that scored 31 points a game without Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And without Taylor Lewan for most of the season.
They got to do that. Lewan's back. Yep. And you add Corey and replace, and you add Julio, and then you got to subtract Arthur Smith with Downing. So that's why I'm talking about chemistry. Yep. And it's very vital in any success that you have. And one thing that Julio brings is he's a team guy. So you know that chemistry with him is something that's just a part of it. So they got to come together. And they got some new defensive guys too. But, you know, we all talk about the offensive guys. They get the glory. You didn't talk about, you forgot Simmons. Big Jeff was on the interview too there, Mickey.
Sure was.
Yeah, Big Jeff talking about he eating better. Man, I don't know about you, but you still big.
Don't get to eating too much better, big fella.
Yeah. He said, well, I ain't doing no vegan. I can't do that. He said, no way I'm doing that. That's not even in my DNA. I can't even try if I wanted to. So he just said a bit better choices in his snacks. Said go eat a whole bag of Doritos or something. Maybe I go make me a shake. I'm like, you know, you want some solid food. You want to munch on something. You want to feel some food. He's like, if you told that dude get fruit, he'd be like, what? Fruit? Man, that's like yogurt to me, man. What are you talking about?
Well, our buddy JT, who used to produce on this station, and Lucas is doing a fantastic job filling some big shoes of JT. But JT lost 100 pounds. One day, I told him, yeah, I'm trying to do better, man. I said, today I had a banana for my snack. He goes, you can't eat a banana. That thing's got too much sugar in it. I said, okay, then I quit. I'm going to have whatever I want. If a banana's bad, then I'm not man enough to do this whole thing that you're doing. Yeah. If a banana is bad, then I can't do it.
Yeah. He's got more sugar in there than we know, right? All the fruit. Yeah, man. He was educating us all, man.
Yeah, I'm still eating bananas.
I didn't work out for a lifetime. I don't want to work nothing else out besides me picking up my food and me chewing it. That's all the working out I want to do. Your diet, I'm gonna follow your eating habits, man.
We got some phone calls to chew through, so let's do this. We will hear from Julio Jones. I promise you, we got plenty of audio from him. Do we still have the guys who were holding in the last segment, Lucas? Do we have Doug and Scott still? All right, let's start with Doug, who's been on hold the longest. Hey, Doug, welcome into Blaine and Mickey.
Hey, guys, good to talk to you. Blaine brought up a good subject. You know, they're talking about putting 8 and 9 in the box to stop Mr. Henry. Well, once you do that, you know, you got to deal with A.J. or Julio. So tell me what defensive matchup, what team has the best setup to try to stop A.J. and Julio? What defensive backs and safety can deal with that?
Well, I can say right off the bat is the Ravens, because that's on my mind, and they have two quality corners, let alone a third corner, and they can, and that's kind of what they did to the Titans in the playoff game. But probably didn't have to do as much on Corey Davis, but they did one-on-one with the receivers outside. And I think, you know, that's how, you know, AJ had a decent day eventually as time went on. Early there, I think it was on Humphrey, if I can recall. I think he caught the one-handed touchdown there, or a touchdown on him. So I think they're equipped. It's going to be all the playoff contending teams, but all of them won't have, you know, two elite corners and, you know, safeties. If you just have a free safety and commit, you know, one of the safeties to the in the box. But that's when we'll see it in the forefront. But their schedule, looking at their schedule, you know, they still play some teams in the regular season that actually can combat with that. So it's going to be interesting. Maybe not in the AFC South more so, because they, you know, the Colts are supposed to be one of the elite teams in there naturally. So they run a lot of cover too, but they definitely going to, you know, have some men in the box, and they'll have a game plan because they played Henry before, so they know how to play him. I mean, he had good games, but not great games against the Colts, I would say. Those playoff teams, Buffalo, he had a great day against, everybody remembers the Norman name, but he had a great day. But, you know, Buffalo may have a different plan. And if they get up, you know, with, you know, the quarterback, Allen, kind of getting better every year. I mean, he's on an elite plane as far as his talent. He continues to grow his talent and manage how much he gets on his accuracy. And, you know, he's already had a strong arm. He can run. I mean, man, the bar is high for him, man. He can still continually get better. Those are the teams, you know, to me, in AFC that can really compete with them. Yeah, they definitely can.
Yeah, Corey Davis.
To contain them. Nobody's
right.
Stop them. It's just kind of like the Chiefs. They should be putting up 30-some points just like the Chiefs.
Yep.
In a different way, but they should be.
Corey Davis, two targets in that game, no catches in the playoff game against the Ravens.
Yeah. Oh, I put money on that won't happen with Julio. Mm-mm. Nah. If he got two targets, those are two catches.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
That's the difference. Then to get Corey Davis is a solid, you know, solid player. Solid starting NFL wide receiver. But Julio's he's on a different plane now. Yeah. This is different. This guy – he's never covered. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Yeah, so you better make sure you have a great break on the ball to get it, because he's got big claws, long arms, catch radius, and speed, and can run routes. So you better have your A-plus game and not your, you know, medium well plus game.
The other Titan who spoke today, Josh Reynolds. We got Scott from Cookeville, who is a Rams fan and has got some perspective. Let's get the inside info on Josh Reynolds. Welcome,
the biggest
in, Scott.
Show on turf. Oh, you make my back.
Blaine, I'm sorry, but Blaine, I got to say, this is the hardest hit I have ever seen. And I'm a Ram fan since 73, was when you and Ernie Conwell.
Oh!
I thought you both were knocked out.
Oh, well, I'm going to get my neck brace right now.
But seriously, guys, don't sleep on Josh Reynolds. I was totally brokenhearted that we did not keep him He's a baller. He blocks. He gets open. He's got great hands. The Titans fans are going to love Josh Reynolds.
Yeah. I think he's a better route runner and a better player than people think. I think so. They may implement him more, a little bit more, because of no Jonnu. But Ferks are still going to be a weapon, but you can kind of hit him in two different manners, whether it's a receiver or a tight end. I like his skill set. He's long. He can get down and run routes, and he still has enough speed to get deep. So, yeah, he has a huge catch radius. But, I won't be surprised if he had a great year because it's a one-year deal, so he's still playing for that contract.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Yeah, 6'3", 200 pounds for Josh Reynolds. So another big target for Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. We got more phone calls. We'll try to take a couple of those. We've also got Aaron Wilson, who covers the Houston Texans, set to join us in the next segment. So stick and stay if you're on hold. 615-737-1045. The Julio, the Titans, the Texans talk. It all continues next on Blaine and Mickey. In the name of the love of Julio, that's what we're doing the show today. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. You guys are calling, and we're loving it. We're loving talking to you. Joseph from the Borough next. But they want to switch up the subject a little bit and talk about the other weapon, one of the other weapons on the Titans. Welcome in, Joseph.
How you doing?
Good.
Doing great, man.
Hey, I got a question for you. I've done some math on this, and I think I'm pretty close to right. Last year, in 16 games, Derrick Henry got over 2,000 yards. Okay, the year before that, he got over 2,000 yards. Last year, that was about an average of 125 yards per game. So, adding an extra game this year, plus Julio, I mean, if he plays the way he's been playing, that man could hit up 2,400 yards this year.
Well, there's a whole lot of people talking about how that 17th game could give him an opportunity to be the first man to hit 2,000 twice. And Blaine, you and me talk about guys. There's guys that you played against that you feel strongly about should get Hall of Fame consideration that maybe don't get the consideration they deserve. And I've often wondered, okay, what does it take to put together a body of work to make the Hall of Fame? But if that dude hit 2,000 2 years in a row, as long as his career didn't just completely fall off the cliff afterwards, a cliff, I don't know how in the world that's not a ticket to camp.
That'll be hard to deny for him to not be in the conversation for sure. Yeah. But that would be phenomenal. And nobody will be talking about, oh, he had these weapons outside and made it easier. And all they don't be saying that. They're going to say,
nope.
Numbers are what they are. And he eclipsed them, and nobody else has done that. And, a three-year span. And I can't even believe it. I'm from my mouth. I believe it can be done. Yeah. And I really do. I mean, so another game. So that gives him if he stays healthy throughout the time, I believe he could eclipse 2,000, even though it would be one more extra game. I firmly believe that he could come real close if he does it. And man, he's a freaking major. He's just like Julio. I mean, he doesn't even look. Doesn't even look like a running back. Just so, hey man, more power to him, man. More power to those people trying to tackle him. That's something to think about though. But ultimately, I think Julio and everybody else in crew, including the King, they want that Super Bowl ring, regardless of stats or not. They want one. That's what they're playing for now. There's no doubt about it. And the organization is, too, by making this move. To me, they put all the chips in and say, hey, man, we got 2 to 3 years to get this done. Let's see what we got. See where we come out with. I mean, we could talk about a lot of good teams. Everybody was, I think Peyton Manning just got in the Ring of Honor at the Broncos, and his short stint there where they go to one, they went to two Super Bowls and won one.
Went to the Super Bowl. How many years was he there? 2, 3?
Oh, he was there 2 or 3. I know he's with the Colts and he went to 2 and only won one.
Yeah.
And I know he won one with the Broncos, and he had a phenomenal season 1 year that broke all the stats for yards and passing, TDs and all of that.
4 years. He was in 4 years, set out a year after he left Indy 2011. Then went to Denver, played 4 years. That second year there was the one where he smashed all the records.
Right.
Yeah.
And they went to one Super Bowl or
yep.
two. They only went to one. Yeah. So it's hard. So
you won one and lost one in Denver.
Won one and lost
yeah.
one.
That's what okay. I
okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause they lost to the Seahawks, right?
Okay.
Yeah. That game was a blowout, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
It was a fumble or interception right up the first drive. Yep. You're backed up. So, yeah. So that's where you're playing for this 3-year window. Let's go for it. Let's make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you shall see. You never know when to come back around. If you get there, you got to seize the moment. I think how quickly they come together on offense and defense will tell the tape. We'll know halfway through really where they're at. Well, I will. Yeah. I think I'll, you know, if they start coming together and they start communicating on defense, and they don't have to be great like the offense.
Right.
But they got to be at least middle of the road and got to be able to be a huge contributor and not a, deficit to the team. I mean, they showed up in the playoffs, but regular season, man, they gotta be on point. They are. I think the team and make a duplicate last year at 11. Got a tough schedule.
Well, you and Dyson me got to really narrowing it down at the end of last season that they had to make, what, 4 stops a game or something like that on defense. They basically win them all if they could get 4 stops. I mean, and it was and for anybody's like, wait, what? Literally, we talked about it every week, and we distilled it down to about that much.
Yeah, yeah, 4 stops. Imagine whether that's a turnover, third down, fourth down and out, special team turnover, all they needed, man, a game. I mean, that seems like that's doable.
Yeah, because they're scoring 31 a game. And when you're scoring 31 a game, hey, you stop them 4 times, they can't score 31. I mean, that's just the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
Let's squeeze in one more call. Then we'll get Aaron Wilson in. John from Clarksville, right quick with a question. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you? When the Titans first came in, they may have still been the Oilers. But did they not sign 2 big-time free agents? Not quarterbacks, but receivers. One was from Pittsburgh, and I think the other was Alvin Harper. I can't remember, but I think that's correct.
John, it was Yancey Thigpen and Carl Pickens.
All right. That's what I was wondering. And they didn't do crap. that's what scares me about this situation.
John, I had a good friend who texted me as soon as the Julio thing went official, and he said, "God, please don't let this be another chapter of Yancey and Carl. Please, no."
I don't think that is. But Thigpen had injury with his foot. He had a pin in there. He tried to fix it before the season, and it just never got back right. And then Carl pulled his hamstring. And did somewhat like Julio and just try to keep playing through it.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't. But to say this, I respect both of those players. They're really good players. They're not Julio Jones. Sorry. I love Pick and Thigpen, where they're great players. But this guy is a freak of nature. He's a different dude. He probably neither one of them are as fast as him. Pickens was probably as tall as him. And as athletic, I think Pick probably high jumped 7 feet. So Julio could do something like that. But Pick didn't have the speed that Julio possesses. So, and he's still in his prime, and Pick was at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's jump to a guy who's always in his prime. Aaron Wilson joins us now at @AaronWilson_NFL Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Aaron, big day and big day in the Music City. Julio Jones taking the field with the Titans. Well, this has got Titans fans fired up. How do you see this trade maybe taking this team to the level of not only winning the AFC South, but maybe going even further in the playoffs this year?
Right. Well, yeah, they already had a formidable offense, and now they have really matchup problems for teams because it's a pick your poison between him and A.J. Brown, and Ryan Tannehill obviously can deliver the football. And you have to respect the play action game with Derrick Henry and just the fact that, you know, Ryan even can take off and run and get yards when he has to. So, yeah, they're very complete offense. And I know that they lost some explosiveness when Johnny Smith signed with the New England Patriots. But now they get back someone that can stretch the field, someone that's a proven pass catcher, really polished route runner, a really large, fast target at 6'3", 220. And as he said today, he's going to prove that concerns about his health are unfounded and that he will, you know, be a durable football player this year. So, yeah, when I look at it, I think it makes them better at every level of the game, and they will not have a problem getting him enough targets. And, you know, he's got the stats. As he said, he wants to win, and the Titans are set up to win right now. So, yeah, he just really improved his football situation from a competitiveness standpoint. And, you know, now for Mike Vrabel and everyone on defense, you know, they've got to raise their level for this to be a team that, and I think that's what's, you know, potentially holding them back, is the defense has got to be even better. And the offense, I don't have any questions about them.
Joined by Aaron Wilson, covers the Houston Texans, really covers the whole NFL at Sports Talk 790 in Houston.
Well, Aaron, man, thanks for coming on and moving, very gracious of your time. But no problem. Man, the Texans, you know, it seems as though there's a little confusion here, being a new coach and coaching staff with a new team. And all of a sudden now they're cutting their practices short, or no, you know, OTAs or mini camps feel like they don't need to. Is Cully, who I know personally there, he was with the Eagles there with Andy Reid, great guy. Right. Man, is he over his head already here, or does he just feel that comfortable with the team?
No, I understand the perception, and perception tends to be reality for a lot of people, but this isn't really that complicated. When you have a mandatory minicamp, typically you need it because guys don't show up for OTAs. They didn't have that problem. They had really high attendance. And initially players told me, and their agents, they were going to vote to not attend the organized team activities. They were going to vote in solidarity, and they did. And then they worked out something different with the team. So initially it was going to be really low attendance at the OTAs, and guys were going to show up for the mandatory minicamp. And then obviously that would be the exception, you know, rookies and maybe guys that are new to the team, but there were going to be a lot of returning veterans, a lot of familiar faces that weren't going to be there. And they had conversations with David Culley, with Nick Cassera. They had good communication. So a lot of the team leaders, the Laramie Consuls, the Brandon Cooks, and they worked this out where guys gave them high attendance. And if he got the numbers that he wanted, then he would cancel the minicamp. And so, you know, something of a reward for, if you give me a solid month in a row, then I'm not worried about the mandatory minicamp. But they're not the only team that's done that. Other teams have done it too. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if you're building trust, as some players said to us yesterday, I asked some guys about it after the practice. I had heard about this for a while and didn't really think it was that big a deal. But this was something to me that shows, hey, we do care about what the players think. We are going to be, you know, obviously, you know, involve them in these decision making, you know, in the process, and try to have, you know, the situation where the players feel like their views are respected, and they are. So yeah, I think they're showing that they're not rigid. I don't think it's like the players are doing whatever they want. I mean, they did work hard and put in the time, and then they felt okay about it. It's 2.5 days of work. I think the way too much was made out of that to me in terms of not having the mini camp. But the OTAs, they're having an OTA today, so it's not like they just went on vacation yesterday. But, you know, and guys will keep working on their own and getting ready for the season. But yeah, to me, I don't think that was a bad thing. I mean, it just shows to me that behind the scenes, they're off to a good start, management, coaches, and players.
Going with Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans, well, as the entire NFL. I guess kind of take us back now. I can't recall what it was there, Aaron, but they didn't have the names or the numbers on the jerseys. What was that about? Let's do that.
They hadn't finished assigning all of the numbers, so what they wound up doing was not updating their website or their jersey numbers until the next day. I think it could be a little bit of a New England thing, because they've done that before with Bill Belichick in New England. And so, yes, they did have a practice where you didn't have, you know, for guys that weren't on the team last year and that didn't have new numbers, you didn't have roster numbers. Everybody had a jersey number. But the PR staff, if anyone asked, they would, you know, point out, this is that guy, this is that guy, that type of thing. They only had the defense out there that one day, too. So so there was no offense to really keep track of. And I would say the importance of the OTAs and, like, what I get out of them, not much. You know, you see who's there. You watch them do some drills. It's not a real competitive football situation. And the intensity of training camp is just doesn't, you know, it doesn't even come close to rivaling that. So, yeah, to me, I didn't put a lot of into that as well. That was, to me, it was like a much ado about nothing. I'm not worried about it. I know who's who and what guys look like, and I can tell who's which players are which players.
Well, and I have to ask you about, you know, the quarterback situation. I know they have Tyrod Taylor, how they've looked. I think Jeff Driskel and then the draft pick with Mills from Stanford. I'll let Mickey ask you about Watson and crew, but I guess take us through what they look like and how they're, you know, filling in the new system that they're running there on offense and defense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with no one blitzing and no, you know, I mean, I know what Tyrod Taylor's like, and he looks the same to me. He did, you know, when he was with Buffalo, and I covered him in Baltimore for 4 years when they drafted him out of Virginia Tech, and he's had a good, solid career, you know, where he's still in the NFL. He's one of four quarterbacks that were drafted in that class coming out of school that year that are still playing in the league along with Cam Newton. And no, I think, you know, he'll be careful with the football. He's going to not throw a lot of interceptions. That's one of the things that is really a hallmark of his game. He's a little careful. He doesn't take a lot of risks, and he's still mobile enough to elude pressure. Davis Mills is very impressive physically. I've had a chance to meet him now, finally, at an autograph show the other day. And, yeah, he makes a good impression. And Driskel is a big athlete. And he's, you know, someone that, in a spot action, if he had to go in a game, yeah, he could get you some quality snaps. But, yeah, Davis has a bright future. A lot of GMs have told me that if he'd come back to school, that he would have likely been a first-round draft pick next year. But they got him in the third round. That was the quarterback they wanted, not Kellen Mond, notwithstanding what Kellen Mond's dad had to say to the Minnesota media. This was the guy they had identified. It wasn't, oh, we didn't get Mond, we're settling for Mills. But, I mean, as much as you could tell from these very limited OTAs, they looked fine to me. And, yeah, I know what Tyrod Taylor's like. I've covered a lot of his games and practices, and yeah, he's to me very well preserved at age 31. He's a good athlete. He's in outstanding shape, and yeah, I think he'll be solid. That's what he is right now. He's a solid quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. He is solid.
One with Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans as well as the entire NFL.
That's right, Aaron. As Blaine said, we do need to ask you about Deshaun Watson. It seems to have gotten really quiet on that front, at least nationally. What is the latest, and what are you hearing about how all this is happening right now?
Right. It's a two-pronged thing. A lot of teams want some type of clarity before they really want to engage in serious trade discussions. They want to know, you know, his availability. Is he going to be commissioner's exempt list this year, or is he going to, you know, face a suspension? That's the expectation for most in this era, where even if you don't face criminal charges, which he has not been charged criminally, they haven't announced the end of his investigation. We haven't seen any momentum toward a charge. It's a civil litigation situation, and they are not close to a settlement. So for teams to have the conversation, football is a bit on the back burner. I know everyone that's a Texans fan, they want, you know, it's not going to get resolved. Obviously, it's not going to, you know, reconcile with the team, but what they want is the maximum return. And if you compare him to a stock, you know, he's a depressed stock, and you want the stock to go back up. But once you know how many games is he going to be available for and when, then it goes back up. He's the NFL passing yardage champion from last year. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback, one of the most dynamic players in the game. So, yeah, of course, there's a lot of value. Someone that could command three first-round draft picks. And I think it's in the Broncos thing, I would downplay that. There's a lot of guys trying to recruit him. That's not a big deal. But, yeah, I look at the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Miami Dolphins are two of the teams to take seriously in this. And I expect at some point for those conversations to heat up. But they're not at that point. And everyone's in a holding pattern because the legal standoff between two heavyweights, Tony Busby and Rusty Harden. Rusty Harden is Deshaun's lawyer. Tony Busby is the plaintiff's attorney. for all of the lawsuits that have been filed against Deshaun Watson alleging sexual misconduct, you just don't have any movement toward an agreement. And because they're so, you know, far apart on this, and he's not scheduled to be even deposed until February of 2022, this thing could play out. And, you know, hopefully at some point cooler heads prevail. Something is reached as far as an outcome that is a compromise and amenable to all parties. And then you can turn the page to our football. But it's very tough to do that. And to get really, you're putting the cart before the horse for a lot of people that are thinking, well, why hasn't this trade done? Well, you got to ask the lawyers. The lawyers have to take care of their end. And this is a very, very serious legal matter. And they've made some, you know, very, you know, serious allegations. So all of that has to be vetted by the NFL, by Lisa Frau, who heads that investigative team on terms of personal conduct investigations. And until all that happens, yeah, football is, you know, a distant second to the importance of this case.
Aaron, we're way up against it on time, but I'll ask you this. Do you think he plays 8 or more games this year, whether it's for the Texans or for anybody, talking about Deshaun Watson, if you had to guess or bet at this point?
Just guessing, you know, and that's assuming that it's adjudicated this summer. I think, yeah, he would play 8 games if it could get done before September's kickoff and then a trade and all those things can be worked out. But if it remains where it is now, I predict commissioner's exempt, and they don't consider that punishment. They can, because you're being paid. And I would think then you're looking at some sort of lesser suspension in 2022. And that's a terrible worst case scenario for Deshaun Watson and for the Texans to a lesser extent and the teams that are interested in trading for him. But, you know, like I said, you know, football, it's got to take a back seat right now because they've got to work this thing out. And me predicting that, I wouldn't be guessing. I mean, I know a lot about, you know, this case, but that said, I wouldn't want to get in front of myself or in front of what might happen. Is it? Sure. It's a legal situation, and I won't pretend to be a lawyer here on the radio.
Well, we won't either, Aaron. Always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for the information, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. At Aaron Wilson underscore NFL Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Back to wrap it up next, you will hear from Julio Jones from earlier today. It's Blade and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Boy, Titans fans fired up today. They got to hear from the newest Titan, among other guys, but a lot of Titans fans fired up to hear for the first time as a Titan, Julio Jones. And of course, Blaine, one of the things that came up with is the old phrase, pick your poison. If you're a defense, what in the world do you do to try to cover everybody that you got to cover with this offense? He talked about that.
Pray.
You know, defense is like, you know, you really don't have to pick your poison. So, I mean, if you want to, you know, stay in the box, put, you know, 9 in the box, right? Guy like Derrick Henry in the backfield, you know, you got to respect him. So then that's when me and AJ go to work outside. And then if you only got 8 in the box, Derrick going to go to work in the backfield. You know, great offensive line, things like that, scheme, stuff like that. But, I mean, you just got to pick your poison at the end of the day. But we're just going to go out there and play for one another. That's the culture of the team here. Just going out there and enjoying it, just having fun, and also just do your job at the end of the day.
Just do your job, man.
Yeah, that's one of the things I say all the time, man. Just do your job and then play and do extra. Yeah, just do your job first, secure what you're supposed to do, and then do extra. That means get your guy you're supposed to block first on the crackback, and then if you want to keep going, then go get the next guy and deplete him. That's what he's saying right there. Or if I make the catch on my curl, make sure I make the right depth, run my curl route or out, catch it, and then do more. Straight arm them and go to the house. Mm-hmm. Run over them, go to the house. Yeah, that's what he's saying right there. It's football at the end of the day. It's still football. And when you're that great of a talent, I'm unstoppable. Just get me to rock. Doesn't matter if I'm blocking. I'm going to do great whatever I do. Man, I'm going to go look up that feed when he was up there depleting dudes, too. I put his butt at safety, too, at times. Yeah, make sure they don't get no injuries there at the safety.
Well, I don't know how many snaps at safety.
A 6'4" safety. Imagine that.
No. With that size and that speed, no. Oh. The ground that he can cover, watch out.
Yeah. Position.
He got to ask about what's left in the tank. It sounds like he's ready to show the whole world that there's a lot left in the tank here, Julio Jones.
Uh-oh.
For me, at the end of the day, I believe in me. I know what I have in the tank. And we're talking about age is 32. Like, I'm young. Like, in football, you can say it's old, but you either do it or you don't. You know, this game don't change for me. I'm still fast and still strong. And to, you know, the games last year, I just, you know, had an issue where I didn't take enough time to heal up properly. But, you know, that was just my decision on going out there and just playing. There's no excuses, things like that. But I'll be ready to go. So for those who questioning my health and things like that, just stay tuned.
Hey, man, if you're questioning things, just stay tuned. Just matter of fact. Okay, man, I'm still big. I'm still fast. Both of those things are still true. I love that.
Oh, what I love the most, though, he keeps the same monotone voice. You know how I get? I would have heard him like, oh, I'm still strong. I'm still fast. I'm still Julio. I'm going to show you. He stays at this. Yeah, I'm still fast. I'm still strong. I'm still dominant. Wait till y'all see what I'm going to bring to this city. Hit that ball. I want him to do something. Nope, that's not who he is. He's all about that action, boss. Nothing else. Hey, man, that guy. Man, I love him because he is serious as a heart attack. Oh, that's what they said. Well, I'm going to tell him how I still have a lot left in the tank. My tank is still filled pretty full. So I think I can still run fast and jump high and dominate.
let's squeeze
him. Me, man.
I know.
Like he has no emotions at all.
He's a sophisticated cyborg that was sent back in time.
Man, I was never sophisticated, and I was never a cyborg. So
we got time for one more. Julio Jones recruited by AJ Brown. This is what he said about that.
I'm very excited. Just for us to be a 1-2 punch or a 1-1 punch or however you want to look at it. He's definitely a number one receiver. Definitely a dog, very has that competitive nature in him. And just showing him, you know, little things that I know from, you know, experience being in the league. But he has it all, you know. And we've been hanging out even before this, even when I was in Atlanta. He used to call me and things like that. So we always talked on the phone. Off season we talked. So now just being able to play with him, it's going to be great, and it's going to be a very exciting season.
Yeah, he later said what he doesn't know is I'm excited to play with him too.
Man.
A 1-1 punch. He said 1-2 punch. No, 1-1 punch.
Yeah.
Better get ready.
What a treat. Guess what I'm going to say? Not just happy Thursday. As T.O. would only say, get your popcorn ready, baby. The tank's going to be lit.
3HL next. See y'all tomorrow.
Peace!